In the summer of 1941, a letter is received by a Rav in England, a place called Buckinghamshire. The Rav who received the letter was a product of the Talmud Torah in Kelm. 13 years, the last 13 years before that, before the 1941, the last 13 years, was also a Rav in London, which was a position that provided him very little satisfaction. So with the beginning of World War II, Lamaise, the Rav who received the letter finds himself completely cut off from his family. His wife and two children were in Lithuania when the war broke out, and he barely managed to escape, the wife and the daughter to Australia, the son to America, and he's in England, in a place called Buckinghamshire. Meantime, what happened was, what brought him to that place, because due to the German bombings of London, so many Jews, including some of the closest Talmidim of this particular Rav, that they evacuated London and found some refuge in the countryside, wherever they were able to find some protection, and the Rav joined them. And what the future held for him, clearly no one had an idea. He himself had no idea what's in store for his future. He was 50 years old at the time. 1941, he was 50 years old at the time. He had 12 more years to live. And many ideas he had already formulated, many ideas, and those ideas basically, some of his best known essays were written, but not a single shmooze or Dvar Torah had ever yet been published. In other words, if it had not been for the letter that we started out, that this Rav received, right? So it means that many volumes which were basically compiled after he passed away, from his talks and essays, would never have been printed. And Bechlal, it means is that everything that he taught, which thus would have been tortured, would have been lost forever. So, turns out, the recipient of the letter was, of course, we're talking about Rav Dessler. Now, Rav Dessler, to realize, receives, as mentioned, he was now, as we said, somewhere in the countryside of England. 10 years earlier, a yid by the name of, well-known name, in those areas, a yid by Rav David Ryan. Rav David Ryan was a shaykhid of Gateshead. Rav David Ryan, important name to remember. David Ryan was a shaykhid of Gateshead. And 10 years earlier, this Rav David, so we're talking about 1941, so 10 years earlier, this Rav David founds a yeshiva. He founded a yeshiva, and basically Gateshead at that time was a working class town, it's the north of England, and now he came upon a new idea. Okay, we have a yeshiva. He says, they want to decide, he proposed to establish a koilu. Koilu of outstanding young Talmid Chachamim, right, 1941. But in the letter, he writes to Rav Dessler because he needs a partner for this undertaking. Fact is, 21 other rabbis received the same letter. He didn't just send the letter to one person. He sent the same letter to 21 different rabbis. Of the 21, right, 21, 18, right, considered that it's not realistic. 18 said, but it's not realistic. Something, it's a lost cause from the beginning. There's no talkless even to get involved to try to establish a coil in Gateshead. And Mela, as a result, they didn't think that it even merited a response. Didn't even answer. The other three claimed that the time was just not right now. It's a good idea, but it's not the right time. And also that their personal circumstances didn't permit them to consider the proposal. The only one who responded to the letter and took interest was Rav Dessler. Rav Dessler was the one who responded to join Rav David in his undertaking. And even though Rav Dessler no way could have known at the time that with the response that he responded to establish that koil in Gateshead, that is what really was that catapulted him to the forefront of a major transformation of Torah in Western Europe. In other words, now, due to that, that's what brought him, he stepped out of the darkness into the limelight. and he would now remain on the public stage for the rest of his life due to this situation. Within a few months, the gates at Koilel with a desolate at the head was a reality, and basically it changed the entire face of European Jewry over there, in the same way it was said as Rav Aaron Kotler. This was the Dimyon that was said. The same way that Rav Aaron Kotler was doing in America, so Rav Dessler would bring the ideal of Torah Lishma, learning Torah for the sake of Torah, he said, in the same way to bring it back in England. So the Nkud is like this, Rabbi Yisai. So when we talk about that, and we think about Rav Dessler, it turns out that Rav Dessler, in terms of that particular Mesiris Nefesh, and this was opened up the door that he becomes and has the opportunity to be able to give all of his shmus and all of his ideas, and he becomes renowned as the great thinker, one of the greatest thinkers that in fact that he was, Rav Dessler. It turns out, very interestingly enough, that his Talmidim and his fame rose to this point that after Gateshead, right, he is being summoned by the Ponovich Rav to come to Ponovich, which is one of the largest yeshivas, certainly at the time, and his influences, and that was the Sibah that his Talmidim very seriously and became renowned by the fact that the Talmidim would say over the various things of Rav Dessler. And of course these essays were published not by himself, as we mentioned, it was published after he passed away. Now, we should mention that there's a number of ideas that is so well known, and some are not well known, but people don't realize it's Rav Dessler. For example, Rav Dessler was the one who formulated the idea, which is a famous idea in the world of Musar, in the world of Yeshiva. Rav Dessler said, contrary to the popular belief in the world, is that it is love that promotes giving. Rav Dessler said the opposite. It is giving that promotes love. In other words, it starts the other way around. The more that you give to someone, that itself creates and generates the ahava to the other person. People always think that if Reuven gives something to Shimon, right, that's going to make Shimon, right, love Reuven. The truth is, the giver is the one really who generates the love by giving. It's not the recipient merely by receiving. And of course, the word ahava, as you know, is the word hav, which means to give, which is very well known. And Reb Chaim Shmulevitch himself followed in the same lines. There's a kuntras, by the way, from Odessa called kuntras achesed. And that kuntras achesed, that's where he formulates this idea. Because you can see, because there's probably no greater love one can describe between a mother and a child. And he says the reason is not just a biological fact, but it's because the mother continues and keeps giving to the child. And that itself generates the love. It's not because the mother loves the child she gives. That's also true. She loves the child. But the true great love and the extent of the love that a mother has for the child, because she's continuously giving. And therefore, when you give, you continuously give, that is something that generates the ultimate madrega of ahava. Another thing, Bechlal Rav Dessler has another essay. He said that the world basically is divided between givers and takers. There are people in the world that are givers, and there are people who are takers. There are people who give all the time, there are people who take all the time. There are people half and half. I'm all nemtah, I'm all getah. Hopefully we're somewhere in the middle there. But Odessa really formulates this idea, and he says that the hallmark of a yid basically is to be a giver. And he develops that idea. So it's not just a milah, it's not just a madrega that a yid should be a giver, but in fact this is something that defines the essence of a yid. What defines the essence of a yid is to be someone who gives. And then there's another essay, Rav Dessler, maybe Shabbos, we'll see, I'm not sure yet. Maybe we'll discuss in the Chumash regarding, which is called the Essay of Bechira, the Essay of Free Will. Rav Dessler there formulates a whole totally new way of understanding the different challenges that a person has in life, and discussing thereby the relationship between the challenges of a person and the power of free will to be able to exercise restraint. So that's an essay of Rav Dessler. So this brings us at least to understand a lot of the things, but you have to realize that Rav Dessler, in addition to being the great thinker that he was, at the same time also, he was a tremendous builder of Torah institutions. Tremendous builder. He was the one who founded the Gateshead Teacher Seminary, famous seminary, girls' seminary. Thousands of girls who went through those doors. The beginning when he started, it was hand-picked to set up a certain madrega, set up a certain level, and that was something which remains very successful to this day, which still exists. And what's interesting is that the man literally had no rest in his life, because in addition to being a guide, a mentor, a teacher, a malamid, a manegruchni, a mashgiach, he also was the sole fundraiser. So he had to do both things at the same time. And that really the personality of Rav Dessler. Rav Dessler also writes, and one of the things is he also pushed to the forefront that we learn Agadita. He learned the various stories of Chazal, stories that they're not stam stories. But he introduced, very important, that Agadita should not be separated without the teachings of the Maral. But more importantly, why learn it with the Maral? Because when you learn with the Maral, you find out that every word which is in the Agadita is essential to bring the message. Because many times you have a story, and you think that there's a general message, but some of the details you think are just put there, you know, you just put there Agavurch. It just happens to be there, but they're not really important. Learning Agadita with the Maral, as Rav Dessler points out, many, many illustrations, is to show us that every item, every piece of information that's related to a particular story has something to do with promoting the message of that particular Agadita. It's also Rav Dessler teaching us how to learn Agadita. And finally, I guess, as Reb Tzadik HaKohen says, that the truth is, the emissary of a true mechaber, of a true author, is supposed to be someone where the author who writes the sefer and the sefer should really be one and the same. All too often we find people writing things about lofty ideals, but they themselves are very far removed in their own personal behavior from what they seem to espouse and what is printed in their name, and even things that they lecture, things that they preach about. But Tzadik points out is a mechaber, he says, but Klal Yisrael is someone who is a mechaber of Torah, so the personality of the mechaber and the Torah itself, they really, you cannot separate them. And certainly in the Mechtav Meliyo, says all the high lofty ideals that Rav Dessler Taka promotes and Rav Dessler teaches, and all of the philosophical commitments, that really was Rav Dessler and the same. He was one and the same. You learn Mechtav Meliyo, you really see what Rav Dessler was. I should just point out on the side that the Netziv in the Sefer Morei Mesodeh, the Netziv in the Sefer Morei Mesodeh writes in the Hagdome, and he writes about his father, the Netziv. He writes about his father, Reb Chaim Berlin. The Tziv's son was Reb Chaim Berlin. We know he was a great guy himself. The Shiva is not named after him. He's Reb Chaim Berlin. And the Tziv was a Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. So the published one, the Netziv Alashas, many Svarim from the Netziv. The Sefer Alashas is called Meroi Mesodeh. It's for many, many Mesechtes and Shas. And the Hagdom is written by Reb Chaim Berlin. So Reb Chaim Berlin writes there in the Hagdomah, of all the great Achroinim, he says, and Mefarshim, you know, of course, that explain Shas, my father, the Netziv, had the utmost respect, or the greatest respect, he says, was for Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So writes Rabbi Chaim Berlin. Of all the Mefarshim, of all the Achroinim, and all were great, talking about great people, but the Netziv had a very special affinity, a very special place of kovid and honor regarding Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Chaim Berlin writes Ad Kedei Kach. So the opinion of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, he says, was so strong, he says, to my father. He said the daf echod shel Rabbi Akiva Eiger hoya machriya etzle kama dafim shel shar achroinim. One page of Akiva Eiger, he says, would outweigh, he says, many, many pages of other svarim. What's the point? The afal pikein, writes Rabbi Chaim Berlin. And nevertheless, he says, someone at that time came and wrote a biography, a sefer of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. I mean, today you have about the hundreds, you know, they just come out all the time. So that time, Psachidish, someone came and wrote the biography of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So I was sure, he said, that my father would be so eager to be one of the first, right, to get a hold of that sefer, to read about the personal life of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Even though my father held Rabbi Akiva Eiger in the highest of esteem, he bechlal was not even interested in reading the sefer about the life of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Why? Because my father said, if you learn the Torah of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, you see the whole personality, he says in his writing. He and his sefer, him and his Torah is one. So writes Reb Chaim Berlin, the Netziv, he says. Because if you really go through and you see the way he writes, you see the Rishumayim Rabbi Akiva Eiger comes out, you see the anivus, you see the modesty, you see the humbleness, you see the way Akiva Eiger writes, you can learn so much just by looking and learning through the Torah of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. So this is something that Reb Tzadik says, that the Mechaber and the Sefer should be like one. When you look at the Sefer, you should really have an idea. That should be a reflection. That should really be a mirror of the Mechaber. They should not be two different people. And that is all too often very much lost. So this was Rav Dessler. And so now, Rabbi Yisrael, what I think what we should be doing now, let's take a look here, an interesting essay. This is the next number four we should really do. Let's take a look here, which is Schar Mitzvah Boilam Hazeh, page 4. It's number 4, and it's page 4. I just want to say that interesting thing, especially that after the Holocaust, after the war, he clearly, Rav Dessler, more than ever, he said the fact, he says, that now we have these Jews that have survived, that basically that all the more was mechazikim, and he had that burning feeling that the individual life of a person no longer exists. You don't live for yourself. Do not live for yourself. It no longer existed, because the question Rav Dessler said that confronts every Jew who escaped the fires, the question has to be, for what purpose did Hashem spare me? And that all the more. So he put himself and threw himself even more in the fact, just giving himself totally, totally for the sake of the klal. I should mention, just interestingly enough, at the very first dinner here in America, when the Satmar Rebbe came from Eretz Yisrael after he was saved from the Holocaust in Switzerland, went to Eretz Yisrael and then came to America. By the way, originally he didn't plan to stay in America. He planned to stay in Eretz Yisrael. Came to America because to establish institutions in Eretz Yisrael. Once he was in America, Hasidim didn't let him go back. That's the story. That's a factual story. So it was the first dinner here in America, back in the 50s, early 50s, the first dinner that here in America regarding to raise money to start building Torah, start building his institutions. So he said there is a fascinating Chazal, which is really interesting, that with the parashah last week, Lech Lecha Vayera, Chazal say that, you know, when Avraham Avinu was thrown into Bayur Kazdim, was thrown to the Kivshin Oesh, Avinu was thrown to the fiery furnace, and a nest happened. It's a fascinating Chazal. It's a Chazal. Chazal say, L'nitzel Avraham Ela B'Zchus Yaakov. You hear that Chazal? The only reason Avraham Avinu was saved, was spared, was in the Zchus of Yaakov. Because the Pasuk says, the Novi says, Koyam Hashem El Beis Yaakov Asher Podas Avraham. So says the Novi. Koyam Hashem El Beis Yaakov Asher Podas Avraham. So the Rebbe asks, Avraham Avinu needs the Zchus of Yaakov Avinu? Avraham Avinu didn't have enough Zchusim to be saved? He needed Yaakov Avinu? Like Nitzel Avraham El Beis Yaakov. And the Rebbe says something which is very, very a lofty ideal. The truth is, the great, great tzaddikim, when they were confronted with an Nisoyan of Kiddush Hashem, they didn't want a Nis. They wanted to give their lives for Kiddush Hashem. That is the ultimate way of serving the Kodesh Baruch Hu. If I can't, they didn't want a Nis to happen. They did not want a Nis to happen. As a matter of fact, you do it at the Beis Yosef himself. The Beis Yosef himself was mispallel the same way that Rabbi Kiva said, Kol Yom Ayoyisi Mitztayer. Right? Al Posek Zeh, V'hatas Hashem Alekecho, B'cholvah B'chol Nafshecho, Afilu Noitul. Is Nafshecho? Beis Yosef really was hoping that one day to be able to do that. I mean, of course, we're talking about tremendous madrigas here. So the Rebbe says, can you imagine Avraham Avinu, when he was thrown to Kivshin Oesh, he didn't want to be saved. Why Kodesh Baruch Hu saved him? Because he had to build Klal Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu had to come out of him. Yaakov Avinu had to come out of him and build Klal Yisrael, the Yud Beis Shvatim, the 12 Shvatim. Like Nitzel Avraham. Avraham Avinu, you know why he was saved? He wanted to go to Kiddush Hashem. So why did Hashem let him do it? Why did Hashem make an S? Why did Hashem allow Avraham Avinu, right? Why did Hashem fulfill the wish of Avraham Avinu? He wants to die on Kiddush Hashem. El b'schus Yaakov, because Kodesh Baruch had a plan. If Avraham Avinu dies, then there's no Klal Yisrael. So the Rebbe said, the fact that we were alive here, Kodesh Baruch allowed him, he said, speaking of himself, not everybody else. He said, Hashem wants something from me. That's right, but the first dinner, what does he want? To rebuild. So I have to do my share in building, doing my chelik in rebuilding Klal Yisrael. That's what he said at the first dinner. Because L'nitzel Avraham El Beis Yaakov, if I was saved, he says, Hashem spared me, there has to be a reason. Hashem wants something out of me. So that's actually the same thing that Rav Dessler said. That every Jew who survived the fires has to ask himself the question, he says, what was the reason that Hashem spared me? And therefore, the life for the individual no longer exists. The person lives for the tzibur, what he can make a contribution on the scene of world Jewry. That is the tachlis of the Yid. Let's take a look at this essay of Rav Dessler here. Schar mitzvah mitzvah, let's take a look. Actually, not schar mitzvah mitzvah, this is the other one. This is schar mitzvah boi l'mazeh. Okay, page 4. Schar mitzvah boi l'mazeh. Michtam al-yoch, right? Schelik aleph. Okay. Omru zal. Chazal have said in Masechtas Kedushin, Schar Mitzvah Bahaya Amaleke. Chazal has said clearly that there's no schar, there's no reward for mitzvah in this world. Hashem does not pay schar in this world. We heard of that Maamar Chazal. Rav Dessler said, usually the common understanding is, it says quite simply, Hashem delays the payment. Hashem does not pay on this world, he pays in the next world. Schar Mitzvah Bahaya Amaleke, there's no reward, right, for mitzvah in this world, says Rav Dessler, L'chayra HaPerishu. Commonly understood, generally it means, It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not give the reward for the mitzvah to this world. It's reserved for him in the world to come. Right? Kisham ro'aysoi lo'elam haba. However, it says Rav Dessler, there's a much deeper meaning to that. Tizchar mitzvah by Amalekim. Omnom inyan omuk ma'oid. Rav Dessler said, the truth is, he says, that it goes much deeper. The royal levaroy el nocho, and he says, and Rav Dessler says, it requires careful study. And he starts with the following. Omuzal. Well-known Mishnah Masechta is obvious. We know that Mishnah as well. Mishnah says, so this is a Chazal. Yofesh shoachas shel koiras ruach boilam habo mikol chaye ho'olam hazeh. Okay, let's translate that. Yofesh shoachas shel koiras ruach boilam habo, which means, loosely translated, koiras ruach means satisfaction. All right? Loosely translated. Means 1 hour of satisfaction in the world to come is better than all the life in this world. Shoachas, 1 hour of satisfaction in the next world is better than all the life of this world. So Rav Dessler says the following. The truth is, when you say that, what is meant, first of all, interesting motion, 1 hour of satisfaction. Satisfaction seems to be something that's 1 hour of pleasure. What kind of a lotion is satisfaction? 1 hour of pleasure in Olam Haba, right? 1 hour of pleasure in Olam Haba, right, is greater and better than all the life in this world. Okay, what's this lotion of Koiras Ruach? Koiras Ruach is something that's sort of like a mediocre pleasure. Koiras Ruach. What's lotion of Koiras Ruach? And also, what does it mean then all the life of this world? So he goes on to say as follows. He says, Chefsi legalos buzeh. He says, I would like to reveal here, Mashtuzachisi lishmoya, he says, Mahoid kvoid. I'd like to reveal something that I learned, he says, from my Rebbe, from my revered Rebbe. And that was Admor, my Rebbe, Adonai Moreinu Rabbeinu, he says, Moreinu of Tzvi Hesh Broide Zatzal. That was Tzvi Hesh Broide, Rabbi Isai, was the son-in-law of the altar of Keln. So Rav Dessler's father, as we know, was a Talmud of Rav Simcha Zisel, right? And Rav Dessler himself, right, was a Talmud of the son-in-law, right? Was a Talmud son-in-law. Now Admor of Tzvi Hesh Broide, who perish? He says, "Upirish ki inyan kol chaya oylam hazeh." And he said the following. He says that the truth is, if you talk about oylam hazeh, the entire life of oylam hazeh, he says, im nikabitz el toich rega achas. Imagine if you'd be able to do this. Maybe if you'd be able to collect and put into 1 minute. In other words, he says that the fact of the matter is, we understand. The fact is that a person's life is a mixed blessing. Personal life is a mixed blessing, which means that during the course of a lifetime, you have times of pleasure, times of joy, and then you have times which is the opposite. If we would be able, Rabbi Yisai, during the course of the lifetime, the fact is everybody has a certain measure of joy also, a certain measure of joy and happiness. So let's say if we'd be able to collect all the scattered hours and minutes of pleasure and enjoyment of an entire lifetime and concentrate that all into 1 minute. You like to capsulize it. If a person would be able to do that, right? Can you imagine? You take all the pleasure, right? The person lived to be that 80 years old, 80, 85, whatever it is. Now we're talking about that, right? And you imagine you take all the hours of pleasure within a lifetime and put it basically into concentrate into 1 minute. As he points out, if you would be able to do that, in the kabitz el toich reg achas, we'd be able to collect, he says. If we're able to collect into 1 minute, as kol shoyes v'gamr goyim, all the hours, he says, and all the moments. Shel oysher, he says, v'nachas, joy and pleasure, sheesh l'odim v'meshach kol mechayov. Can you imagine we'd be able to do that? It's very clear, if you put all of it, right? If you collect it all together, right? If you collect it all together, all the joys and pleasures of a lifetime, you put into 1 minute, you can imagine that would be an extremely intense experience of joy. Because now you take all, right? Take all the hours, and all the days and weeks that you have accumulated, right? And you put it all together into 1 minute. You place it into 1 minute. That 1 minute would have to be an extremely intense experience of joy. But let's go further. Let's not only do that. He says, let us collect all the hours of pleasure experienced by all your friends and all your acquaintances. Let's take those hours too. Benitzarev Loze says, it's called a wish of anachas. Let's go now and let us collect and bring together. It says, all the joy and all the pleasure, Sheshel Chol Chaverev Him Yudoyev. than all your friends and all your acquaintances. V'chol yemechayev, throughout their entire lifetime. So if you have, let's say, 20 friends, take together all the pleasures that all those 20 friends, and put that, he says, the gamazet, and put that also into that same minute. In other words, into 1 minute. Not a different minute. The same minute that you're putting all your life's pleasures, you're putting into that 1 minute. Take all the many, many hours of pleasures from all your friends during a lifetime. And all your chaver, and put also, now that minute now has been enhanced. You can imagine, immeasurable amounts of joy, right, has now been placed into that minute. You put it. As he says, the Lashon, V'gamazen nachnis aloysa harege, and you'll give that to one person. All the joy that you have now placed into that minute of a lifetime of scattered hours and days and weeks, you put into 1 minute. Not only your lifetime, but also all the pleasure and all the joy of all your friends and all your neighbors, right, all your acquaintances, of their entire lifetime, each individual, and put that all into the same minute and give it now to one person. Hayim Efshel Lishayir, he says, right, is it possible the intensity and others of such an experience, right, would be beyond description, he says. Hayim Efshel Lishayir Madregis Usher Asher Yagish Odom Ahu Regu, right? There's no way to be able to describe the intense pleasure. That experience has to be beyond description. If you concentrate all of those pleasures, right, you accumulate all of those pleasures into the same minute, right, of a person's life. Into one, the same minute. Now, but don't stop here. Don't just put only those into that minute. My Rebbe said, but let's go a step further. Let's collect more. But what we want to do is concentrate in the same minute, not only your happiness of a lifetime and all the joys, not only the happiness, he says, of all your friends and acquaintances, and not only, he says, but what you do is by all the people in the entire city. We're going to give you all the accumulated pressure. So if you have a city, right, that has a population of 1 million people, right, and you take the joys and the pleasure, right, of each individual of the 1 million people, all the joys of their lifetime. Now that's 1 million joys, right, of a lifetime of joys. Put that all, concentrate all of the joy at the same minute and give it to a person. Is there any way to describe the intensity of that joy? There's no way to describe it. So it goes further. But don't stop there, he says. But let's go even further, he says. Let's add all the happiness. We're going to put into that minute, he says, but we're going to do is add all the cities of that country and also of every country. In other words, what we're going to do is, we're going to take all that's pleasurable, all that's pleasant, all that's delightful, in the whole world during an entire generation. So take all the pleasure of, right, of all the cities and each and any person of an entire generation. So if you have today 7 billion people, I think that's the last count that they say today. 7 billion people's lifetime of pleasure, concentrate them to 1 minute. Do we have an idea? Can we describe the intensity of that moment of pleasure? Have you put in, right, all the billions of lifetimes of people, by the way, from an entire generation, right? Not just now this year, not just this year, not just we're adding from last year, this year, from the entire generation, right? From the entire generation. Let's go further. Haina, in other words, what I'm saying is called Hatoyv Shebi'olam B'meshech Dor Sholem. What I want you to do is add, and I want you to collect all the pleasure and all the joy from the entire world of each and every person during the entire generation. Let's add it all up, concentrate into 1 minute, and give it to one person. Can you imagine how much joy that one person would have? Can you imagine how much joy that one person would have? But don't stop there, he says. Don't stop there. Because Mekomokoyim says, Rav Dessler, even if you do that, One generation is not all the life of this world. Why? Because this world has an age. This world has an age. Right? This world has an age of how many years it is old. So when you talk about all the life of this world, we're not talking about Dafka this year, we're talking about Dafka last year, all the life of this world, which means if you want to fulfill all the life of this world, that, he says, is arrived, all the pleasure of all the life. How do you calculate? How do you calculate all the pleasure right? All the pleasure of all the life of the world, that's only if you add together, listen to this, that's only, in order to have kol chai oilam hazeh, in order to have kol chai oilam hazeh, that's only if you add together all the happiness experienced by all the generations from the beginning of creation till the end of time. That's called kol chai oilam hazeh. Now imagine, if you could take all the pleasures, right? Take all the pleasure from the time the world was created. Millions of people, thousands and thousands of years. Right? People, more people, right? And take all the pleasures of all those individual people from the time the world was created, and not only till today, but till the end of time. Till the end of time is all part of Chai Olam Hazeh, till the end of time. And take all the pleasures from the time of Bris Olam, from each individual mankind, there's billions and billions and billions of people. Take all their pleasures concentrated into 1 minute. Can you imagine what that means? So he says, you know what kol chai olam hazeh means? Av kol chai olam hazeh is im nitzarev is kol usher. Then you have to add all the happiness shebechol adoyres mereishis abriya tzoyf kol adoyres. V'hakol mamish kol toiv olam hazeh belishum yoytzem nakal. It means without exception, you have to take all the good of the world without an exception and give it all to one person at one time. Then he says you have achieved, right? Then you have achieved a degree, right, of worldly happiness that's impossible to go higher, right? As he points out. Right? Hakol yinotze lo b'mechod. Imagine giving all that pleasure to one person. Brega achas mamish. Imkein haloi eilecho usher yeser al zeklal, right? There's nothing higher, there's nothing more. Says Rav Dessler, said my Rebbe Pshat Nechazal, all that pleasure, one moment of Olam Habo outweighs all that. Yofe sho'achas of koiras ruach bo'olam habo mikol chai olam hazeh. Which means, kol chai olam hazeh means if you take all the pleasure from the time of Brias Olam till the end of time, and you take all of it, and you put it together, and you concentrate it into one moment, into one shoachas, so you in your mind, avada, the intensity of that pleasure, it's impossible to describe. But yofa shoachas of koyres ruach, 1 hour of satisfaction in oilam habo, outweighs all of those pleasures of chai oilam hazeh. Look what he says. He says, the loshen vafel pikein, koyres ruach boilam habo, Godel Hemenu. The Koiras Ruach, he says, the satisfaction, he says, in the world to come exceeds it. Now, so he's saying, Yofa Shachas of Koiras Ruach. Now, what's the Lashon Koiras Ruach? 1 hour of Koiras Ruach. Says Rav Dessler, see, my Shver added to that. My Shver, Rav Dessler Shver was Rav Nochem Velvel. Rav Nochem Velvel was the son of the altar of Kelm. Remember we mentioned last week that Rav Dessler married the granddaughter of the altar of Kelm. The altar of Kelm was of Simcha Zisl. His son was Rav Nochem Velvel. Right, Menochem Velvel. And Rav Dessler married the daughter of Rav Nochem Velvel. So he says here, my Shver, he says, Ubir Madregas Koiras Ruach. He says, you know what Koiras Ruach? Koiras Ruach, satisfaction in Olam Habo. What does it mean, satisfaction in Olam Habo? He says, Pirish Admer Moiri Chom Yizekhet Tzadim Kodesh Lebrochot. So my Shver explained it. Shehu, he says, I'll give you an example of what it means, Koiras Ruach. There's one thing to enjoy intense pleasure, right? A person is invited to a Suda. So I sit down at the table, and he has all the food, all he has to do is sit, and they eat and enjoy. Now, about a person, right, who's invited to a meal, he's invited to a suit, invited to a chasana, and sits down and eats and enjoys. But let's say a person was not invited to the meal. Guess what happens? So at least, what does he do? He walks by, right, walks by the wedding hall, and the window's open, and he smells the aroma of the food. That's a poor imitation of the real food, but it's something, it's a hanoah. Said my Shver, Koiras Ruach means Ashmek of Olam Habo is greater than all that. Roim Aboy says actual pleasure in Olam Habo, that's certainly much, much more than Kol Chai Olam Hazeh. But the pleasure of Olam Habo is so intense that even just a Shmek of Olam Habo, Koiras Ruach means, right, a whiff of Olam Habo, which means that the schar even for the smallest mitzvah, so to speak, the schar even for the smallest mitzvah. So you'll say that's not the fullest pleasure of Olam Habo, you might say. It's a schar for the smallest mitzvah. So it's a whiff of Olam Habo. That pleasure of Olam Haba, even merely a whiff, a kairas ruach of Olam Haba, we said outweighs kol chaya Olam Hazeh, all the pleasures from Briyas or Olam, from all mankind, all the way down to the end of time, and you concentrate that, you take all that together, Olam Haba, so we have no idea how, therefore, the pleasure of Olam Haba. There's no way in our imagination to have an idea. We cannot even describe how to mean even earthly pleasure, taking, accumulating all the earthly pleasures from Briyas Olam to now each and billions of people, take all that, put them to 1 minute, we have no Esoge. But as much as we have no Esoge in that, but one thing we know, Olam Haba is much more than that. It's more than that. Yofa, it's more than that. Let's take a look. So Mashveh said that you know what Kairas Ruach means? We're not even talking about the actual real pleasure of Olam Haba. That's for sure it's more than Kol Chai Olam Hazeh. But even the Kairas Ruach. So he goes on to say, Ubir Madregis Kairas Ruach, he says, it's like Kitsir Suda Simcha Gedoyla Bebez Malachim. Imagine there's a Suda Gedoyla, there's a large banquet, right? Royal banquet. Asher Yaver Oni, so poor man, right? Poor man passes by. Poor man passes by, he can't go in and eat. Poor man passes by, v'yoreach, it's reach ha-suda, and he's smelling the aroma of the Suda. Midei Ovra Brachoyv Mechutz Labayis. Right, so a banquet is being prepared. So all that he's doing is v'yehenem and arecha toiv. At least he's able to enjoy the aroma of the food. So he says the same thing in the world to come. The same thing in the world to come. He says v'chein gam boil mabo. So the same thing is also in the world to come. He says in the world to come im odam ein azoyche loylam habo gufe. You see what he says? Sometimes a person, like we say, you know, we say kol yisrael yesh lom chel kol mabo, but people make a big mistake. You know what it says later? People forget the second part. So not everybody has a chayel kol mabo. But guess what? There's something in the middle. What do you mean in the middle? You're maybe not meriting. You don't have the schus for actual olam haba. But there's something called, what's it called? Look what he says. That means that by mabo also, imodam einenu zoichel olam haba gufe. Let's say a person does not have the schus, does not have the merit for actual olam haba. But you know what? Shemaim says like this, you know what? Well, give your rishus to have a little smell, to have a whiff, to have the aroma of Olam Haba. To have at least the aroma of Olam Haba. And that whiff of Olam Haba is so pleasurable that the entire Chaya Olam Hazeh will not match up to that. Even that. As he points out, Shemar Shemloi, we allow a person sometimes in Shemai merely lavrin the bechutz, v'lahenois rak merecha toiv sholem abo. Doesn't have the schus to actually sit in Olam Haba, but we give him the rishus, right, that he's able sort of like to pass through Olam Haba, and to be able to, he's able to breathe in. He's able to breathe in, he's had a little bit of the aroma of the world to come. That's what it means, right? From the reach toiv hamuchim l'sadikim. Zeu pirish, that's the pshat, mishesh l'koyras ruach bo Olam Haba. Kairas ruach shel Olam Haba means, but not Olam Haba atzmoi. Guess what? So that's the smallest schar that you can get. Not to have actual Olam Haba, but only to have the kairas ruach. That's the smallest schar. And that smallest schar, not only this world can't repay it, but all the pleasures, if you combine what we just said, if you combine all the pleasures of this world, starting from the time of Bris Olam, each individual, billions and billions of people, right? Billions and billions of people. And you combine all of their individual pleasures, and put that, it doesn't amount. Says Rav Dessler, Soy Bazoy. So it says, imagine, Koyras Ruach is, that's the smallest, Huaschara Yoysa Kotna Shef Shel Himotze. That is the smallest, that's the smallest possible reward, but for the smallest mitzvah that you can imagine. Mal Korchenu, he says, we have to say, Huavur HaMitzvah Yoysa Ketana Shef Ein Ketano Hemene. That is the smallest mitzvah, because after all, every mitzvah gets a reward. And for that smallest reward, he says, all the pleasures and all the happiness, if you take them all together from Reishis Abri, from the beginning of creation, so now we have a new explanation. Schar mitzvah b'hai al meleke does not mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not pay reward. Schar mitzvah al meleke means you can't pay it, like it's not, it's impossible. Because on this world, right, and within the confines of this world, it's impossible to pay the schar of a mitzvah, because all the pleasures, if you take, in this world, which is earthly pleasures, if you take it all from the beginning of time till the end of time, it's not going to amount. So how can Hakadosh Baruch Hu pay you in this world? It's not shaykh to pay. That's what he ties to schar mitzvah by Malekah. So he says in the bottom, Haresh is bar lono hetiv. So now we can understand very clearly. He says, why there can be no reward? What it means is schar mitzvah by Malekah. You know why? There is no reward. Mishum she'ein loch shum mitzvah na mitzvah, because there's no mitzvah, even the smallest. So because there's no currency in this world that's capable of paying. That's why Schar Mitzvah Amaleke. Because there's nothing, there's no medium. There's nothing in this world that can do justice to pay what one mitzvah even deserves. Right. So he says, so v'yir, therefore it comes out kitargum hamil mamish. So he says that's the case that you translate it exactly. In other words, schar mitzvah b'hal meleke means not leke, is there is no reward. Leke means it's impossible. It's not. Leke means it's not shayach. Leke means it's not. Leke goes on, the word leke means the leke boil mazeh, it's not here in this world. It's not here, meaning ein b'chol oilam kuloi mashi efsheli eschar mitzvah v'afilu mitzvah yosek etana. B'chon avasaman, Rabbi Yisai brings in the end of the Koivis Horus, there's some hashkofe mamorim of B'chon avasaman, not in every edition, but in the early editions of later where they were, these mamorim were put together, this is called the sefer called Koivis Mamorim, where they put together the various hashkofa essays of B'chon of Asaman. So it brings it from the Chofetz Chaim, that there was a Yid, far removed from Yiddishkeit. As a matter of fact, he was a non-believer, and he used to laugh it off completely, And he spoke to the Chofetz Chaim, said Rabbi Chonam, and the Yid was saying to the Chofetz Chaim, he said, look, it says in Krishma, V'hoyo, Shemoyti, if you listen to the mitzvahs, V'hoyti, B'zoichet all the brachas, I'll give you rain, and V'sati mitaras chambitoi, and you have panosa, and it says in Krishma, said, and if you don't listen, he says, well, if you don't listen, you're not going to, so he says, I don't listen to anything, he says, and I have everything. I don't listen, he says, and I have everything. So I have everything. So what should I believe in? What should I believe in? I clearly am defiant. He says, I'm not listening to anything. I'm not showing any of the mitzvahs. And yet, Baruch Hashem. I didn't say Baruch Hashem. I'm saying Baruch Hashem for it. He says, I'm enjoying it. He says, I'm enjoying. So the Chofetz Chaim said, the fact that you quoted a pasuk in Krishma, that means that at least once in your life, you recited Krishma. You know that the Chofetz Chaim, for the one time that you recited Krishma, you deserve much more even than you have, because all the pleasure in this world doesn't amount to the schar of one mitzvah. So Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving you on this world, but not giving next world. For the one time that you said Krishma, you deserve to have even much more, he says, than even that you have. Because the schar even of one mitzvah, now we just saw even the smallest mitzvah, that does not amount, he says, to kol chaya 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 oilam hazeh. So that's it, that's what you're getting paid for, he says. And that's, the truth is, he's being shortchanged. Because the true schar, because the pasuk says, Meshal Nesoyin of Aponim Lavida, those are Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? They're not deserving in Olam Haba. Kodesh Baruch Hu pays the reward for everyone, but you don't get it in the next world, he'll give it to you on this world. But then and the truth is, in your, as Reb Chaim Chulnevi says, he says, Olam Haba, he said, the schar of the mitzvah, he says, and that's maybe not such good news. So the schar of the mitzvah, he says, in the next world, is according to how much you yourself are machshiv the mitzvah, he says. So if you sell the mitzvah, he says, for $50, he says, then your schar no mabo is also $50, he says. But if your mitzvah is worth for you $1 million, he says, worth a lot, he says, then the schar no mabo is also, he says. In other words, you yourself determine the value of the mitzvah, right, which means that the conjunction of oil mabo. But in any case, okay, so this is what we have over here. We have this asoge v'yofa, kleiras ruach boil mabo. We see that even a whiff of oil mabo, we see that outweighs all the pleasures from the beginning of time till the end of time. Let's take a rabbi a little bit here on the sheet to see if there's not much time here. I'm sure we're out of time, as we see already. Let's take a little bit. It's very optimistic, so I brought a big sheet over here. So, actually, this is the Perik Aleph, even the surgery on it, Perik Aleph of the Ramchal. And then the Silas Yisharim. I just want to tell you what Rousseau Salanter said. Rousseau Salanter said regarding the Perik Aleph of the Ramchal, the Silas Yisharim. Rousseau Salanter said, listen to this. So Osanta said that it's easier, he said, to write a pirish on the entire Shas than to write this first perik of Mesilas Yisharim. So said Osanta. That's what he saw. That's what he saw in the Ramchal. It's easier, he said, to write Torah, he says, an entire Shas, he says, than to write this first perik of Mesilas Yisharim. Look what Ramchal says. Let's try to do it a little bit quickly. Ramchal says, "Vinei Masha Hiruna Chachomenu Zochrein Avrochahu Chazal Toras Sho Odom Loi Nivra Elali Sanei Gal Hashem." Listen to this: man was created in this world to be able to enjoy pleasure of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. V'lahonos Mezib Shchenosoi, and to be able to gain pleasure right from the glory of the Shekhinah, from the presence of Hashem, because Shizehu Hatanik Hamiti, the true pleasure is nothing, in other words, in this world, similarly we just learned, nothing in this world amounts to any way, shape or form to the true pleasure of Olam Haba, being the presence of Hashem. Because that's the Tanug Hamiti, that is the true pleasure. That is the highest level of pleasure. One can imagine in this world anything that he can imagine which would be the greatest pleasure in his mind. Nothing matches up, says the Ramchal, to the true pleasure, the Tanig Amiti, is when you're close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says. And where's that place? Olam Haba. Where's that place? Where's that place where you have this tremendous, the greatest pleasure possible, as we just learned? But that's what Ramchal is saying. The place of having, gaining that immense pleasure, this highest pleasure of all pleasures, the emes, hu Olam Haba. Ki hu hanivre, he said, b'hachona mistach do vezak. Hashem Baruch Hu created us on this world to be able to do things, to be able to, right, acquire Olam Haba. So we were put on this world to be able to do, right, to be able to do within Torah and mitzvahs, be, as a result, according to how much we do, to gain as much Olam Haba as possible, which is, this is the greatest pleasure imaginable, as he says. To reach that destination, to reach the destination of Olam Haba, which is the greatest pleasure of all pleasures, he said, which is this world. This world. Now there's no way, there's no short way. The way to get to Olam Haba is through this world. This is the world. That's what the Chazal said, the Mishnah Novice, we know that Mishnah. This world is like the corridor, right? Bifnei Olam Haba. So this is the corridor. So what is the mediate? What are the means? What is the means to pass through? What are the means? Well, I'm saying, he says, Hamagim is Odom Taklis Hazeb, the means that allow a person to reach that Taklis. The Taklis again is what? Olam Haba. Heim HaMitzvahs Ashut Tzvonu Aleim HaKel Yisbar Shemoy. Where do we do the mitzvahs? In this world. The only way to really reach Olam Haba, he says, through mitzvahs. And where's the place to do the mitzvahs? This is this world. Olam Hazeh. Alkein, therefore, man was put in this world. Alkein, husam odom bezeh hoelam betchila, kedei shal yedei hu amsoim hoelad, through the medium of this world doing mitzvahs, hamizdam nimloikan, right, the opportunities that he has here, yochel ha'agi, he'll be able to reach el amokim ha'shuchemoy, he'll be able to reach the place, right, that's prepared for him, that's olam haba, l'ravish shom batoif, to be able to nourish himself in all the good ha'shukonoloi, that he acquired through his means, to what he accomplished on this world. Is brought down his svarim, Rabbi Sai. It's an amazing thing. It's a half of a fella. The neshama, before it came down to this world, comes from the kisa kovet. You can realize before the neshama came down to this world, so it was very high. The neshama was there, close to Hashem. So the svarim akdoshim point out, it's still called chelik olam haba. As a matter of fact, it's called chelik olam haba. So he writes over there. Shol Brach. He writes over there, brings from a source, that the Neshama, as great as the Neshama was in Olam Haba before this world, but when the Neshama comes down to this world through Torah and Mitzvahs, it now goes back to a much higher place than it was before it came down. In other words, the opportunity for a Neshama on this world is to reach greater heights than the Neshama began before she came down. And we realize the Neshama before she came down was Mamish Tachas Kisei HaKovet. And yet, that same neshama coming down in this world to the medium of Torah mitzvahs is able to reach even greater heights in a greater mokem in Olam Haba. She says further, Kishtakaloi Badobatir, he says, if you look a little deeper, he says, you'll see. Kashleim Eswamiti, what is the true perfection? True perfection is one thing. That's Dveikus Bayis Baruch, Rak, only Dveikus, only cleave to Hashem. That is the Shleimus Amiti. And that's what Dovra Melech said in Tehillim. Vani kirvas alikim litoiv. You know what's good for me? What's true? The true good is kirvas alikim. Kirvas alikim litoiv. Then he said another thing. Acha shualti meis Hashem. I ask only one thing. Oy savakesh. Shifti beveis Hashem kol yimei chayoi. Why? Ki rak zehu hatoiv. V'chol zula zeh, says Ramchal. Anything besides that, anything besides coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that people, right, that people imagine is good, she'achshivuhu b'nei yodim la'toiv, that people consider to be good, other things that people can consider, ein ela hevel v'shovnite. It's a mistake, it's a falsehood, misguided. You're living in an illusion. Omnom, he says, L'shiyitzke odom l'toiv azois, in order the person should have the merit to be zoich olam haba, so you have to work at it. Roishe amal rishoyno, so he has to first put in, he says, his effort, v'yishtadel, v'yigia, he has to put in real koyach l'knois to acquire it. Meaning, v'hayne sh'yishtadel l'dabik bo yizborach b'koyach maisim. He has to do the proper thing, thereby he is going to be connected to Hashem. The consequences, the product of his maisim, is what? The heim heim amitzis, is to bring him close to Hashem. But it's not so easy. Yes, this is the world that you can achieve the greatest, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu put you in this world where there are obstacles. HaKadosh Baruch Hu davke through obstacles, because that's the nesoyim. V'neisom HaKadosh Baruch Hu yodim b'mokim shrabim boi, hamachiki moisim memenu yizborach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'maisa put us in this world where there's a lot of things that are competing. A lot of things competing for your attention to distance you from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that are the taivas achumniyas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ingrained our natural instincts, our natural desires. If you allow yourself to be attracted by those physical desires, you are continuously distancing yourself from the true good. So you have a standing, you have a continuous melchoma. That is the most powerful melchoma. That is really the greatest war in a person's life. They're all tests, they're all challenges. Because when a Kodesh Baruch Hu showers you with a lot of blessings, those blessings can mislead you. Oh, I have a lot of blessings. So maybe now you can have 25 different vacation spots in the world, right? And Chazal Shalom, if you don't have what you need, and Avadi has Nisyon, so all the things, whether the Ashira, as he goes on to say, poverty is an assign, is a challenge, and affluence is a challenge. We see what affluence does to people. According, he says, to the level. It's according to the level. Measure for measure. According to the level of Shekhov HaShisroi. According to the measure that a person is able to curb, right, to conquer the Sahara, the Tavoisov, and you distance yourself from the bad things, you're going to be able to reach the Yismach boy. So we'll do the one more paragraph here. Klolish Shaldover. This is the final thing in this, in him. Ho Odom Loy Nivro Bavur Matsovoi Boil Mazeh, who is not created, right, for standing, for his station in life in this world. El Bavur Matsovoi Boil Mazeh. The only thing is, to reach Olam HaBa, you need this world. But this world is not, right, to define his station in life. Elisha Matsove Boel Mazeh, his matzav in this world, his station in this world is Emtsoi. That is the means. La Matsove Boel Mabo Shua Tachlis. So I want to show you something, interesting thing. So from Rav Desla, if you turn the page, Sukkah number 2, look over here, we have, turn the page, you see that the three lines over there, from Miltam Leo. Rav Desla goes on to say, Ein Shum Usher Gashmi Bioilam. The truth is, materialistic, he says, gain does not give you happiness because you're continuous, as we learned last week. Because that's the point out. Because you're always in pursuit of more. You're always in pursuit of more. So the male, there's no such thing as materialism giving you happiness. Like usher ruchni. It's only the happiness of one's spiritual madrege. Mishu hu usher ruchni is a person who is affluent in ruchni, is that Zoyche, right? He was Zoyche to fill his life with ruchni, a spiritual maisim, huhu hama'usher, v'loy acher b'shum ponim. And that's basically a hemshech, really, of what Rav Desla said last week. We didn't get to that part, but this is again. So I want to show you a very little maisim, very beautiful little maisim. If you look over here, look at number 3, look on the right side. You see, from Moshe Leib Sasser. Moshe Leib Sasser, one of the great famous tzaddikim, he was very much oisik in Pidgin Shvuim. He was very well known also in Ahavas Yisrael, tremendous Ahavas Yisrael. We talk about giving. The person really gave his life, he was a big Baal Moifes, a big Paul Yeshua. His people would come from all over for brachas. He was not really a rabbi officially for Hasidim like that, but he was a tremendous tzaddik, and he'd be always running around all over the place. Where's the Yid Bitzar? Wherever there's a Yid in trouble, he'd be there to save that Yid. Do whatever's possible to save that Yid. The Munkansha dynasty also is our Einiklech from Ramayshal Ibn Sasser, among others. So it's Maisa Barava Kodesh Ramayshal Ibn Sasser, Zechat Sadaka Rocha. Sheshov Labesa, he comes home in the Sea Aruchim. That's, he was away for a long time. No, he comes home after a long in the Sea. He comes home. The Pesach Abai is Kiblu Espona Bonavaktanen. No. Father comes home after such a long time. You know, little children, they come to the door to be mekabel ponim, right? They await his arrival. And ukedarkom sheyilodim, and as is customary for little kids, what did you bring me? What's a present? There was a present. Kedarkom sheyilodim, kol kolechem lu'umosai. Everyone asked the father, Abba, mahe vesili, what did you bring me? This time, whatever reasons, he couldn't bring anything. He was away for a long time, didn't bring back any presents. But they didn't let up. Children are children, they didn't let up. Abba Mahivesu. What do you mean? What did you bring? Abba, father. You went for such a long trip. You have to bring something. He kept pressing him. Madua lohevesu muma. Being that they didn't push it, they didn't let up. They kept insisting. What did you bring? He groaned and misalif. And he passes out. It was a lot of tirchim. It was a lot of koyach that they could to wake him up. That they put in a lot of effort. They had to revive him. So his wife didn't understand. So he didn't bring a present once. You always bring, he says. So you have to faint because you didn't bring any presents. She asked him. So why are you fainting over here? If sometimes there's no ability, possibility, she says, because of that you have to chalish. So he didn't bring one's presence. Why'd you chalish? Why'd you pass out? Never heard the children ask things and sometimes parents just don't have. Exactly. So he says, that's not the reason I fainted. Loi biglal because shosom shal yelodim. He said, nevhalti, misalafti. I didn't pass out because of their bakoshe. Where's the present? I made a cheshbon, he says. They're saying when you go away on a long trip, and you come back with nothing. So I'm here on this world so many years. I'm going to come up in Oil and Emes. They're going to ask me, what did you bring after this long Nisiyah? That's why I fainted. I said to myself, he says, when they said, Kishato magia habesam adarach arucha tzorachat alevim chomashu, you have to bring something. So I made a cheshbon, he said, I'm going to come to my real bias, I'm going to come to the oil of my own, to the next world. They're always going to ask me, what did you bring? You were away for such a long time. How am I going to be able to face my maker, face HaKadosh Baruch Hu? When I thought about that, so I started to think. So Kapolim said, we see this, Rabbi said, this is the way Tzadikim always lived. Tzadikim always lived Loilam Haba. That's what Ramchal tells, that is our purpose, Boilam Haza. And let's remember, Yofi Shoacha Shal Koyris Ruach Boilam Haba, Mikol Chaya Oilam Haza.